For those of you who have had the tenacity to hang with us, we do apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we're going through in our worship experiences. We're trying out a variety of different things. Some things are working, some things are not working, but we'll get there eventually. And if you have been diligent enough to listen or piece together pieces of services over the last few weeks, you know that Epiphany Sunday and the entire season of Epiphany is my favorite of the whole church year. Here's why. Epiphany literally means appearance or manifestation. If we take it a step further, it means to show or to shine forth. And going further than that, it can mean to reveal or illumine, to gain insight. Epiphany is about listening closely for God in order to discern the way forward. In short, it's really how we as the people of God ought to be living our lives each day, listening closely. Epiphany is the season for deeper understanding, for fuller meaning, a clearer vision of oneself individually and collectively as a church, as we seek to listen very carefully to God's call in our lives. And that's why I mentioned that during our announcements today. Even in our annual gathering, we do this in Epiphany, to listen carefully. What am I being called to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? What are we being called to do as the church? How are we being called to be the church? More importantly, am I or are we willing to listen and to heed God's call? Today's story of the calling of Samuel is a beautiful illustration of the best that Epiphany has to offer. Samuel, the son of Hannah and Elkanah, was given over to Eli the priest as a very young boy. This was to keep Hannah's promise to God after she had for years been unable to conceive and was finally given a boy. The problem was that the priest that Hannah gave her son over to her was weak and ineffectual, and his sons were a disaster who were also priests. They were corrupt. They abused the people in their care. They stole from the offering plate. And they didn't pay any attention to the guidance of God. God was frustrated with Eli and with his sons and decided to work through Samuel to try to restore sacred order to the temple. That's where we drop into the story today. Samuel is repeatedly called by God during the night, but he thinks it's Eli who is calling him. And it takes a few go-arounds before Eli understands and finally grasps what is happening. Even though he has lost his connection with God, Eli has an epiphany of sorts. He knows what needs to be done. And so he says to Samuel, if you hear that voice again, simply respond by saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This whole experience occurred at a time in Israelite history where it is said the word of the Lord was rare in those days and visions were not widespread. In other words, they had lost their accountability, their connection, their relationship with God. There was no devotion. They no longer paid attention to God. And Epiphany was not possible because neither the priests nor the people were listening. Fortunately, Samuel was spared all that. From his birth, he was set apart and blessed and used by God to speak a word of truth to his mentor, who no longer heard God's voice. And speak he did. Even though he was frightened to offer God's message, because of its scathing rebuke, at Eli's beckoning, he and his sons were called out, and God's wrath was made known. When God's voice is heard, interesting things begin to happen. In the case of Samuel, it went something like this. God says, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle." Which I think begs the obvious question, when was the last time you heard your ears or felt your ears tingle? Perhaps more explicitly, when was the last time you heard the voice of God calling you? This weekend holds an odd and unusual convergence of events to which I've already called your attention. Not only our annual meeting, but today we recognize three very important aspects of our lives collectively, especially for our Ohana. And at least one person in each one of those situations listened and heard the voice of God and responded in an incredible manner. It was Father Damien who heard the voice of God calling him to the island of Molokai and to the peninsula of Kalaupapa to minister to those who were quarantined and suffering from leprosy, which was later known as Hansen's disease. At his arrival, he spoke to the assembled lepers, and I quote, "I speak as one of you who will be a father to you and who loves you so much that he does not hesitate to become one of you, to live and to die with you." Later, Father Damien expressed his devotion upon hearing the voice of God even further by stating, "I make myself a leper with the lepers to gain all to Jesus Christ." He did this even after he contracted the disease and served those in his care until his death. It was Queen Liliuokalani whose reign was overthrown on this day in 1893, 128 years ago, who also heard the voice of God. While under house arrest, a voice which prompted the creative process in her, a process of writing poetry and prose in Malay as she composed some of Hawaii's most beautiful music, one of which you'll hear at the end of my sermon today. In her words, "To compose was as natural to me as to breathe. And this gift of nature, never having been suffered to fall into disuse, remains a source of the greatest consolation to me to this day, hours of which it is not yet in place to speak, which I might have found long and lonely, passed quickly and cheerfully by, occupied and soothed by the expression of my thoughts in music." Her greatest legacy, it is said, was that she summoned the ability to forgive her captors and those who overthrew what was rightfully the kingdom of Hawaii, knowing that God's ways would not be thwarted. Hearing God's voice, she did not respond in revenge, but grace. It was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birth we celebrate this weekend, who heard the voice of God inspiring him even as he was mounting the Montgomery bus boycott. In his words, "Early on a sleepless morning in January 1956, rationality left me. Then, almost out of nowhere, I heard a voice that morning saying to me, 'Preach the gospel. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for righteousness.' Since that morning, I can stand up without fear." Dr. King also heard God's voice. And each time his ears tingled, his spirit rejuvenated. He was empowered to do the work he felt called to do. Samuel, Father Damien, Lily Ogallani, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., all giants in the art of listening, but really no different than you or me. Oh, we may think that we're not good enough, not holy enough, not connected enough to hear the voice of God. But as we often say in the United Church of Christ, God is still speaking. We just need to pay a little closer attention. So today I invite you to consider these giants in the faith, whose lives and testimonies we recognize this weekend. And there are many more just like them. And when you listen and look closely into their eyes and hear their voice, you may notice that they sound and look a whole lot like you and me. Ordinary people called to extraordinary acts based on nothing more than listening and heeding the voice of God. Because when God's voice is heard, it will transform your life, and grace will abound. As you listen now to the Queen's Prayer, sung by Lehua Bissen, see if you don't hear the voice of God. How is God speaking to you today?